Mums with Hustle podcast, episode 90.
Welcome to the Mums with Hustle podcast, where you'll discover everyday mum entrepreneurs killing it in their industry. Learn the secrets you can replicate to create your own success with your host, Tracy Harris.
Hello, and thanks for joining me, Tracy Harris, on this episode of the Mums with Hustle podcast. Today, I have a very savvy hustling mum entrepreneur who left her corporate career in banking. She was actually made redundant and then used that to pursue her passion and create a product that is now stocked across 50 Woolies stores and over 200 Coles supermarkets in Australia. I think that is absolutely incredible. She's here to share all of her wisdom and learnings and her truth behind her business success story. So let's get into it. Rachel Grantham is the founder of Little Bud. Little Bud provides fresh, nutritious, ready-made meals for kids with no nasties. Rachel left her corporate job in banking to pursue her dream of launching Little Bud. From a humble beginning at the local markets, they are now stocked in Woolworths and Coles, and Little Bud is fast becoming a staple for busy families. Now, Rachel is married as well, and she has two beautiful children, and I'm just absolutely delighted, Rachel, to have you on our virtual couch. So, big welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, you know, Rachel, can you actually start off just straight away by telling us a bit more about your business? And then if you can actually slow it down a little bit and walk us through your incredible startup journey. Take us through that idea to the actual launch.
Okay, so Little Bud Food makes a range of fresh and healthy meals for little kids age 1 to 5. They're designed by a nutritionist and a chef to make sure they're healthy and tasty. And as you mentioned there, we only use natural ingredients. So the kind of things that you'd find in your own kitchen. When you look at our ingredients packaging, you'll see it's real food and completely free from nasties and preservatives. So in a nutshell, we are making meals that are just like a homemade dinner for your kids. And the journey started 4 years ago. I came up with the idea for Little Bud Food when I returned to the workplace after having my first daughter, Ava. And I was really struggling with the dinner dash. It was probably the most stressful part of my day. And I can just remember, you know, the whole picking her up at 5:30. She's already tired and cranky, trying to dash home and cook her a healthy dinner all the while she's hanging off of my leg, crying, already tired, already over hungry. And I just found it really, really stressful trying to cook in that way, but also then trying to get her to eat the dinner when she was in that much of a state, and then try and get her to, you know, in the bath and to bed all before 7 p.m. So that 90-minute window was just really super stressful for me. And it's not what I imagined life would be like. You know, I thought with my little girl, I really missed her. I was at work feeling pretty guilty about going back to work anyway and, you know, putting her in childcare, missing her all day long and really looking forward to spending some quality time with her on the evening. I just wasn't getting that quality time. And I just thought to myself, gosh, there's got to be a better way than this. And so I went to my local supermarket and went to try and find something that could help speed up that process at dinner time. And I was just astounded when I couldn't find anything on the shelf, any you know, ready meals for kids. There was plenty for adults, and then there was plenty of convenience products for babies, but there was just nothing in between for those toddlers. And I just thought it was, the irony was you know, profound, in the sense that when they're really little and they're having purees, there's all these different products available to help you out. And that's when you're off on maternity leave, and actually when you've got lots of time on your hands to make baby food at home. The minute you go back to work, when they're about 1 year of age and they're eating real dinners, and all of a sudden there just wasn't anything for you to help you out with the dinner dash. And I just thought, gosh, there's a huge gap in the market here. And that just really compelled me to start my own business. I just thought to myself, like, if I don't take this opportunity, to fill this gap in the market. I'm pretty sure somebody else will. And so that really was the driving force behind it.
Wow. And such a gap in the market, can I just add, because every night, pretty much, that is our story. That is our reality. And it is annoying.
Oh, so frustrating.
And it's upsetting because you're right. We spend all day missing them. And then you go get them, and then they come home, and they're not even pleasant because they're overtired and overhungry, as you
say.
That's
right. That's right. And I thought, I can't be on my own. I thought, you know, surely no. other mums are going through this too. And I remember feeling terribly guilty and also like I was failing as a mum to juggle everything, you know, juggle the job, juggle the meal preparation, juggle the housework, all those things just kind of together was pretty overwhelming. And then when I spoke to my friends, who had kids from mother's group, I realized that actually we were all in the same boat. We were all facing the same challenge. And I asked them, I said, look, would you, if there was a ready meal available for kids in the supermarket, would you buy it? And 100% said yes.
Yeah. Well, it is like a bit of a fairy godmother kind of product. Like it solves many pains at that time of the evening. Yep. So, Rachel, you have clearly identified a niche in the market and you've successfully grown your business. And, you know, I just want to say congratulations because I think you're in like your fourth year now, which is amazing. Yep.
Thank you.
You know, can you share with the audience what your top tips are for, I guess, number one, identifying your niche? How do you really laser in and know that you have found a great niche or a great spot in a niched area? Mm-hmm. And then the second thing I wanted to ask you is, how do you actually stand out in that niche, particularly as competition arises?
Yeah, so I think that the first question about identifying that niche, you know, I think a niche can be either a gap in the market, so you know, something that's just not there to service, you know, an existing need, or it can be something that actually is there already, but others are just doing it really, really badly. So keeping an eye out for those opportunities as you go through your day-to-day life. And kind of seeing what frustrates you, what annoys you, what things you think are done badly that you actually think you could do much, much better, is always a good place to start. And by being really cognizant of that, also thinking about, well, what things do you enjoy? What things are you passionate about as well? Because I think you have to have a marrying together of those two things to really be able to run a successful startup business and see it through all of its ups and downs. You've got to make sure that you're really passionate about the actual concept itself. So I think in terms of really knowing that you've hit the right mark with the opportunity you've spotted, my top tip would be to test and learn. So we've always taken an approach where before we do anything on a big scale, we always test on a small scale. So the example I'll give would be for Little Bird. I guess my leap of faith assumption that I really wanted to validate before we invested a, you know, significant amount of capital into the business was to say, look, will mums buy this product? Will they really want it? It was something that wasn't there at the time. It was a complete gap in the market. There were no infant ready meals available 4 years ago. So the biggest question I had was, well, why is that? Is that because people don't really want it? So I needed to prove that first of all. And so to do that, I just pulled together really simple packaging. It was little simple plastic pots. We hired for one day a week a kitchen in a local restaurant just down the road. We'd use that on a Friday when they were closed for business during the daytime, and we'd cook up all the meals and then we'd sell them at Bondi Markets the next day. So that gave me the opportunity to really test the market, pardon the pun, but I, you know, very quickly and easily was able to take a range of meals that I developed with a friend who was a chef and a nutritionist very cheaply and see if people would buy them, and then also get their feedback. As the weeks progressed, we found we had a bit of a following at the markets, and they would come back and they'd tell us what they liked, what
That's
they
fantastic.
Didn't like. And we used all of them. That was like the building blocks of the business, but it was fundamentally the proof that we needed to say, okay, yes, we actually think people will buy this, and therefore we think this will actually perform well in the supermarkets as well.
Wow.
So we did that before we set up our own kitchen. We did that first of all. So my number one tip is test your niche as in as cost effective a way as you can at small scale before you invest in a big way.
Okay.
And then I think to answer your second part of that question.
Yeah, standing out in that niche, especially when competition arises. What yeah. do you have to say about that?
I think for me, it's all about quality. So with us, we didn't have competition in the early days. We were the only kids ready meal product, but we built the brand on quality. So by putting out a meal range there that was really tasty, that the kids really enjoyed, it was really healthy, so the mums really enjoyed that, and it was super convenient. You know, by putting a super high quality product out there, we developed a real following just by word of mouth. So mums talking to their other mum friends at mothers groups, etc. All of our marketing in the early days was pretty much by word of mouth, and that only comes from having a really good quality product. So
yeah,
I think to stand out against your competition, and I'm sure our competition is going to come along, it is already, you know, I think you just got to make sure that what you're doing is the highest quality possible.
Absolutely. And can I just say your branding is super fun as well?
Thank you. Thank you. That's the really fun part. That's the bit, you know, that's
is that the bit you love?
I absolutely loved developing the brand. Yeah, it's really fun when you see that come to life. You know, you start with nothing and you think of a name, and then you actually, you know, work through the branding and the logo, and it, and you know, and it all comes together, and it's just how I imagined it would be. But it's really satisfying to look back and think, you know, we built this from scratch.
Yes, because that's, you know, I'm always reminding the audience that what we, when we look at a successful business, yeah, we always see where they are now and never where they started. So you're saying you started at the humble Bondi markets with the cheap kind of plastic containers. Just kind of validating that your food was good and there was a need.
That's right.
Yeah, and then, you know, you've built it up slowly since then.
That's right. That's right. It has definitely been a little bit a time. Each journey we've been on has been, we've tested and learned, we've tested and learned, and we've taken all of the learnings on. I guess the key thing we just didn't want to do was make any mistakes on a really big scale. So all the mistakes we could make, all the learnings we could gather, worked really hard to make as many mistakes as possible while we were little. And yeah, that's really helped equip us for our growth journey. That is, it has been quite an acceleration recently.
I've never heard that being said before, and I quite like that. Make all the mistakes while you're little.
Yeah,
is that a quote? I feel like you need to put your name underneath that now.
Yeah, there you go. It probably isn't mine, I must admit. I think it's probably come. Yeah, definitely.
Wise words.
I think one of the resources that I recommend whenever I talk to other people who are in startup world is, you know, the Lean Startup. It's a book by Eric Ries, and I just think that is an amazing amazing piece of material to kind of help people on their startup journey. So I definitely recommend that. It's pretty much his concept, I must admit.
Okay, very cool. It's wise. Like, as soon as you said it, I was like, yes. But then there are so many business owners out there that are just always just too scared to, like, you know, do pretty much anything new. It's nice to kind of just finally get the hang of something and then get all comfortable. But you have to keep pushing in order to move forward and grow. All right. Well, congratulations again, Rachel, because I hear that Little Bud is actually now stocked in about 50 Woolies stores across Australia, or New South Wales, Victoria, and you're in about 200 Coles supermarkets.
That's right.
Amazing.
Yeah, we just launched this week. It's amazing. We're so excited.
Yeah. I'm doing a virtual cheers here with an imaginary champagne because that is incredible.
I'm cheering you back.
Thanks. Cool. Well, you know, I have to pick your brains then. You know, what advice do you have to give the fellow biz mums out there who would really, you know, they have those lofty goals of approaching the big guns and the supermarket giants one day to stock their products? What do you say to them?
My advice would be really prove yourself in the independents first. So get a good sales track record going and demonstrate some sales growth. So what you want to take to the major supermarkets is some really strong performance that they can't ignore. So for us, we were building a brand new category, and we didn't have, when we started the business, we didn't have any sales history. We just had this vision that people would want to buy this. But you really need to demonstrate that before they'll take the chance on stocking it, because everything's competing for space on the shelf. So my advice would be start little, test and learn, launch in a few independents, you'll make some mistakes, learn from those, and then start growing in the independents. And once you've got, a good 6 months sales results under your belt, then that's a really great place to be to open a conversation to say, look, this is what we're achieving. This is the growth and the sales we're achieving. We think that it would do really well in Woolies or Coles. So I think I would go armed with that to be a bit of a business case for why they should range you.
Okay. And how do we start like that reaching out, or where do we find the person we need to contact, and how do we do that?
Yeah, so a lot of the contacts I've had along the way have fortunately been through network. So I've, from the early days, having not come from the food industry, I did spend a fair amount of time, and still do, reaching out and connecting with people in the food industry who've been there, done that, have got the t-shirt and can give you some really good advice, pitfalls to avoid, but also can help connect you to other people who can help you.
Yeah.
So a lot of the people I've met along the way who've then connected me to the right people to be able to have the right conversations have been through networks that I've built. So I definitely recommend networking. I know with Woolies as well, you can actually go online and have a look, and there is information on there on who the buyers are for various categories, and that does change over time, but they actually publish who their buyers are and their contact numbers. So you can hop online and you can actually find out who the person is you need to speak to.
Ah, perfect. There you go. Woolies are making it nice and easy.
They are indeed.
As easy as, easy to contact them, but from that's then on it. You need to put the groundwork in.
That's it. The next bit's a bit harder.
Yeah. Okay. As businesses grow, we're always talking about the need to outsource or hire staff. All that starts to become a reality. So how have you, Rachel, at Little Bud, managed to recruit such a passionate team where everyone works towards these common goals and the values that you have there at your company? And when did you know that it was time to take this next step and actually, grow beyond yourself and have a team?
Yeah, I think you know yourself when it's time to bring on other people and build a team, because you find yourself doing everything and you know that you're not focusing on the big picture stuff that will actually grow the business. So, in the early days, I was there, I was helping in the kitchen, I was doing the sales, I was doing marketing, I was pretty much doing everything. And you can only do that to a point, and you reach that point where you know that you've taken on, you're kind of taking on too much and you can't get through everything. You will just feel it yourself when you need to get some help on. But you'll also know it just from, the fact that you know that it's gotten to a point where you can add more value doing other things. So big advocate in rolling up your sleeves and getting your hands dirty in the early days, because then you'll understand your business inside out. But then it is so important to start thinking bigger picture and actually how you can take it from that, that little small setup, where you want to be, have that big picture vision, and how you're going to get there and what will you need to do to get there, including the team that you will need and the skills that you'll need to have in the team to get there. I also knew that, I didn't have a food background and therefore didn't have a lot of these skills that I would need, and therefore to build the team out. I wanted to bring on people that would complement the skills gaps and expertise gaps that I had. So it was definitely a question of when rather than if. And it was all linked to how quickly we were growing. So I think you will just inherently know that yourself personally.
Yeah.
Who
is on your team? Like, tell us, who's contributing to making Little Bud what it is, and what are their roles, and how did you all meet?
Yeah, so going back to the beginning, so I was really fortunate to, in the early days, particularly because I fell pregnant with my second child, Jack, about 2 months after launching the business. But wow, this is going to be tricky. That's for me when I knew I needed to hire other people.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a mum again. So I was really, really fortunate that I kept stumbled across a lovely lady called Jess Killigrew. At the time, I was in a local store in Bondi Beach holding a demo. So I was in there handing out warm samples to kids and mums, kind of putting the word out there about Little Bud. And one of the mums that came by and spoke to me was a lady called Jess. And she said, oh, I love this. This is a great idea. Oh, my kids seem to really enjoy it. What a fantastic idea. By the way, I'm a food technologist and I think this is great. And if you ever need anybody, I'd love to talk to you.
Divine timing.
It was just meant to be. She was there and she had the most amazing skill set and helped develop the products into what you see today. So, I was very thankful to have met Jess. And then from there, most of the people who we've hired since and brought into the team have actually come to the team from seeing adverts that we've posted on our Facebook page. So anytime we have a vacancy, we typically put it out there. And that means that all of our kind of fan base, follower base and existing customers see it. And so many of the people have applied just from having seen that. So we're really fortunate that we've got this amazing team of mums behind the brand who already were buying our products, loved our products, were big lovers of the brand. And then when a role came up that fitted them, they applied. So we've managed to build this amazing team of mums who, in sales, in nutrition, our chef, Katrina Hollis, even the people who joined our kitchen, the majority of those people were mums as well. And we've managed to bring all these people on board who just have this absolute belief in the product because they love the product themselves and love what it stands for, and really care about kids' nutrition. So I think just their relatedness to the actual product itself and the business has just fueled that passion internally within the team. So, yeah, really, really fortunate to have the team we have.
What an organic kind of crew that you have just attracted. Well, they say like attracts like, but that just sounds magnetic to me. That's kind of cool.
It is. And I think as well, once they join, they really benefit from the environment that we have here too, because we're incredibly flexible. So, we're able to work around school drop-offs and pick-up times. We don't have this set, it's got to be a 9-to-5 job Monday to Friday. We actually are much more flexible than that. So people who've got kids in daycare or kids at school, they can get the rest of their life to balance out really, really neatly with working for Little Bud as well. And because we're all in it together, we all understand the challenges of, modern day parenting. Everyone's really great and supportive of each other. So it's just a really good environment.
Oh, that sounds so nice. Can't we all just work at Little Bud? No. Oh, fantastic. I love it. No, I love that sense of culture and, family and community that you've got there. It's definitely coming across in the branding and the product that you're creating.
Thank you.
No wonder you are expanding. It's not an overnight thing by any means, but now the ball is certainly rolling and it's just fantastic. I see great things for you, Rachel.
Thank you.
I do want you to be a little bit candid with us now, because you said obviously you're no stranger to taking a leap or, diving into things without necessarily knowing if something is certain or not. And that's a fantastic trait to have. But tell me about the last time you were actually nervous or uncomfortable in something to do with your business. What was the situation and how did you handle it?
Wow, I think this happens all the time.
That's good to hear.
I get nervous a lot.
How refreshing.
And I think that happens because I think when you're trying to grow a business, you have to put yourself out there and do things that you're not familiar with and, try and develop new skills. And that always feels, a little bit alien. So I'd say that, definitely happens all the time. I mean, the most recent example would be that I had a live TV appearance on Sky Business News, and it was a 10-minute slot. And I was so nervous beforehand. But I just prepared, all day long.
Yeah.
Like over prepared for this interview. I really wanted it to go well. And I was so nervous beforehand. But that preparation and those nerves were actually my friend in the room. I often think that a lot of the things that you're procrastinating over or feel nervous about doing are probably those things that actually will really push your business a lot further, and probably therefore the things that you need to do more. So I actually try to get out of my comfort zone a fair bit. I think other examples are, you know, when I do investor pitches. So when we're doing capital raises to fund the growth of the company, you know, I always find those a bit nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
Because there's always that fear of rejection. What if they don't like the idea? But, you know, you've got to think big picture. And if they don't, they don't, move on, you know, and there will be people out there who believe in the vision. And I think you've just got to have enough self-belief in the business, in the product, in what you're doing and why you're doing it. And then if you just focus on those things and the outcomes and the vision that, you know, you have, I think they really help you get through. So I think you've just got to do it.
Yeah.
Get on with it. Yeah.
And eyes on the prize, as you say, just have like complete tunnel vision for the end goal. Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, I think one of the most uncomfortable things I ever did, in fact, the most uncomfortable thing I've done in this business, was when I stood on a market stall for the first time with my brand new product in my hands and was so nervous about would people buy it or not. And people walking by the stand who I knew from, you know, my career in banking, and they would look at me and think, what are you doing? And they'd come by and go, is that you? What are you doing on a market stall? You know, I was super nervous about that. You're always worried about what people might think.
And yes.
She's crazy. She's left her job in banking to stand on a market stall. But for me, it was like, it's not about the market stall. I believe I've got this amazing product. And my vision is that I want this to be stocked nationwide in Woolies and Coles. And so I fronted up to the market stall with that vision in mind.
Oh,
so,
you go.
Definitely uncomfortable though. You know, I'd never seen a market stall before. Didn't know what I was doing. And I tell you, that was, the most nerve-wracking thing I've ever done.
Oh, that is certainly brave. But I love that standing there in that moment, you already had the big vision.
You have to. You absolutely have to.
I
think you're, as the founder, you need to believe in that vision, really fundamentally believe in it, because there are, you know, times along the journey that you'll hit an issue, or you'll hit many issues, and you'll have a wobble and you go, oh, is this the right thing to do? And I think you've always got to bring yourself back to why you're doing this and the big picture. And that really helps get through those troublesome times, because we all have ups and downs in business. It's part of it.
We do. And we all get nervous. So lean into the things that are making you nervous or uncomfortable, because as you said, they are more often than not the things that are going to propel you further in your business.
Absolutely.
Oh, very, very good advice. Well, Rachel, you know, what is coming up for you, and where can we find you and your beautiful product?
Yeah, so as you mentioned before, we've recently launched in Woolworths, so you'll find us in New South Wales and Vic stores, in select stores. You can hop onto our website online and there's a little store locator there, so you can find your nearest stockist there. And just this week we launched in Coles, and that's all across the eastern seaboard, so you'll find us in your local Coles store as well. And we hope to hit South Australia and West Australia by around about September time. So yeah, it's a big year for us.
Wow. That's a huge year. And what's your website, your URL? Where can we find you online?
Yeah, so we're www.littlebud.com.au.
Okay. And social media as well?
Littlebud Food on social media, on both Facebook and Instagram.
Okay. Well, I'm going to make sure that I link to all of those places for you.
Thank you.
Because, you know, my son Ethan, I think he has hollow legs. He just eats all day long. But yes, as we spoke about earlier, you know, he gets to dinner time and it's like he goes from not hungry to starving to death.
Starving.
And then, like seconds away from death, and he needs food. And, you know, we've had Little Bud and it is delicious and it tastes home cooked with love. And, you know, I'm not surprised that Woolies and Coles have snatched you up. And yeah, I think people need to keep an eye out for your product. It's sensational.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you know, the pleasure is all mine. Thanks for coming on the podcast and take care.
Thanks, Tracy. Bye.
Well, wasn't Rachel an absolute goal-getting, hustling mama? I love it. And you know, the thing I think that I love the most is that Rachel is building an empire in something completely different to what she had been doing previously in her corporate career of banking. And you know, what that goes to show is you can just, the sky really is the limit. Like, it always sounds so corny that you can do whatever it is that your heart desires. You do not always need to have the experience or the expertise or the connections. You can go out and you can learn and you can find that stuff. But what you need is the resilience, and you need to have those big, lofty, pie in the sky goals that you are not ashamed to stake, you know, like put that stake in the sand and stand firm and go after that goal with absolute conviction. I love the story Rachel shared in particular about, you know, those nerves that overcame her almost as she stood there at her first market stall in Bondi with the samples of her first product. I think that was incredibly powerful stuff. So thanks, Rachel, for sharing that one with us. You know, ladies, I really encourage you to think about your big, lofty, pie-in-the-sky kind of goals. What are they? What are the things that you really, truly want to achieve? Those things that, you know, if there was no bounds to what you could achieve and there were no limits and there were no obstacles and budget or resources, everything was available to you, what would be that thing that you would really want to achieve for yourself and for your business? Like, be honest with yourself. Give yourself the time to dream and wonder. Go for a walk if you have time. Take the pram or take your little ones or get out by yourself if you're so lucky enough to do that. Lay down on the grass, whatever it is. Have a shower, go into your dream zone and try to figure out what are those goals, those things that light you up and excite you, and just chase them because, you know, as Rachel has shown, you certainly can achieve those lofty goals and build your empire, whatever that is to you. So thank you again, Rachel, for joining us. And thank you to you, lovely Mums with Hustle, for listening and joining me on another episode of the Mums with Hustle podcast. If you loved this episode or you've been listening for a while, please consider leaving us a review over on iTunes so that more people will discover our podcast and can benefit from our content. Also, it means so much to us when you tag your friends on our social media posts at Mums with Hustle or you share our content. That really is awesome. So thank you to people that have done that. It really means a lot.